Open your Bibles today to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says this, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." In approximately 62 to 63 AD, Paul is writing this letter. He is writing it not from the comfort of a home where he's warm and every need is provided, but rather he's writing from the Mattermine prison in Rome. He's in a dungeon, three or four levels down. He's probably not seen daylight in 3 to 6 months. He's eating what we would call gruel and an occasional piece of bread. I'm almost certain on a day-to-day basis he is dealing with the pests and roaches and rats of a dungeon. And yet he sets down and he writes to the church at Philippi a letter about rejoicing and a letter about being full of joy in the Lord. And he's going to end this letter by telling us to learn to be content. Boy, he hadn't been in the 21st century much, has he? But Paul's going to teach about contentment and joy and rejoicing in the Lord. And as we meet him here in the middle of chapter 3, Paul is reminding not only himself, but he is reminding the Philippians that it is more important to gain Christ than anything else in life. Now, Brother Paul's song said just a moment ago about we need more of you, more of Jesus. That's the very theme that Paul's writing about in this chapter. Now, remember, Paul has been an apostle for close to 20 years by now or longer. He's had an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So no matter where you and I are in our own relationship with Christ today, remember that we too need to gain more of Jesus. We need to understand who he is and what he's done and what he's accomplished for us. In this letter, Paul will cover three very important foundational things in our lives. He will cover how to be right with God, justification. He will cover how to live for the Lord, sanctification. And he will also cover the element of going and being with the Lord, glorification. Those three fundamental principles are something every human being needs to be certain and sure of. That number one, their heart is right with God. That number two, they're doing their very best to live for God. And number three, that they are prepared for heaven, because heaven's coming to every one of us. When Paul is writing this letter in the first part of chapter 3, we get a little bit of a biography. But if you'll look in verse 1, he says, finally, my brothers, And please take notice, two chapters later, so when I say finally in this sermon, don't get ready to get your coat on. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. You see, that's what Paul wants them to do, and that's what he wants us to do. And the way we do that is to gain Christ. Now, I don't know how many of you have a checking account. I figure it's most of you, if not all of you. One of the things that I learned a long time ago about a checking account is it has credits and it has debits. They don't call, you know, that little card you carry around, they call it a debit card. Nobody's made a deposit card yet. Have y'all noticed that? Now, it's a debit card. The terms that Paul is going to use in these verses of loss and gain are banking terms, credits and debits, assets and liabilities. Okay? And I think it's a very wonderful set of terminologies because it allows us to understand from something very practical how we're to learn to rejoice in the Lord and how we gain more of Jesus Christ. Now, in these verses, Paul is going to tell us three times about loss, and he's going to remind us three times about gain. And so as we look at these verses, I want us to understand that Paul, again, is writing this from a dungeon. But his perspective is not that my life is over or there's nothing I can do to make my life any better. I sometimes watch the news and I fear that so many people are giving up because the world seems to just be disintegrating around us. And I'm pleading with you as pastor of this church, don't become the eternal pessimist. Pessimism is infectious. It is a disease that the only thing that can cure it is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we say, oh, the world's going to end. Don't be Chicken Little, okay? Don't be running around crying that the sky is falling. The sky's not going to fall. If I remember right, it's going to open up and the trump's going to sound. It's not going to fall. Now, here's what I want us to realize. While we're here, we have a responsibility. The responsibility is to gain Christ. In verses 4 through 6, I want you to notice something that Paul lists as his assets from his perspective. He said, "If though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." You know what Paul's just told you? You think you're good, I got you beat. You list it, I'm better. You know anybody like that? That no matter what you tell them you are able to do, they're able to do it better. How does it make you feel? You just, oh, well, that's great. Somebody else is better than I am. Not normally the way we feel, is it? I always get amused at fishermen. The first guy who tells the first fish story never wins. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. One of my favorite fish stories is told by my good friend Doug Rye. Doug said he catches a fish this long. For those of you that don't know Doug, he only has one arm. And Doug always wins, all right? So it just never matters. It's just hilarious to hear Doug tell a fish story. But, you know, Paul says it doesn't matter what you think you've done. I've done it better. But you see, here's the tragedy. Those things that Paul just listed are valueless in eternity. They may be good here on earth, but they're valueless in eternity. We may have all the strengths that we need in this life. We may have pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we may have made a success out of life, but ladies and gentlemen, those things are valueless in eternity. If you don't believe me, read the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus says about them. Okay? Now please understand something. Paul says here, I have counted them all loss. Whatever gain I had, whatever assets I had, and he lists those things, I counted them as loss for Christ's sake. He said, I moved them from assets to liabilities. Paul understood. Paul realized what was happening in his life. He said, it's time for me to forfeit them. Any of you collect junk? Now, I always know it's expensive when it's spelled J-U-Q-U-E. J-U-N-Q-U-E. That's expensive stuff. Junk, J-U-N-K, is just that. But you know, what's junk to you might be a treasure to me. And vice versa. Every time I go through my closet and I start to clean out things, I don't get near as much thrown away as I thought I was going to. I go through my library and I say, I'm going to donate some books to the seminary library, or I'm going to put some in the church library. And every time I start going through them, well, I need that one. I need that one. You know, yeah, well, how long has it been since you used it? 8 years. 12 years on this one. But I need it. Now, you said, what's your point? There are things in life we think we need that we don't need. I hate to disillusion any of you. We need God. God doesn't need us. He's God without us. Well, we're very little without him. And this is what Paul is driving at here. He said, I've looked at these things that I've done, and I'm going to count them loss. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at all of my earthly accomplishment, and I know I'm going to know that my self-righteousness, my self-worth will not please God. We've got to learn the same thing. And one of the hardest lessons we ever learn is that we're sinners apart and separate from God, and that only through his blood can we be saved. You say, well, why is that so hard to learn? Because we don't want to give up on ourselves. We want to think we can accomplish something when what it takes is a repentant heart and a belief in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I counted these things loss. Now, why? For the sake of Messiah, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of one Paul had looked for all his life. Can you imagine what it was like for Paul on the, or Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus that day? I mean, he's getting it down that road. He's headed to Damascus. He's going to persecute him some Christians. He's going to throw him in jail. He's going to kill him a few. He is filled with zeal. And then God strikes him down. The Bible says a great light shone. And all at once in the midst of that great light, Saul of Tarsus has scales on his eyes. And he can't see a thing. They lead him into Damascus to a street called Straight. And for 3 days and three nights, Saul of Tarsus is blind in eyes, and yet the scales of his soul are starting to peel away. Because with each passing day and each passing hour, the light to his eyes are just as dark, but the light to his soul is coming clear. And at the end of that 3 days, Ananias shows up and says, Saul, I'm here to baptize you. And the scales fall off of his eyes, but more important, they fell off his soul. And Saul of Tarsus was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I looked at all of that and I moved it over to liabilities. Why? So I could gain Christ. My asset, my worth is in Jesus now. How wonderful. So I ask you a very simple question. Is your worth in Jesus Christ or is it in self? If it's in self, it'll destroy you. If it's in Christ, it will redeem you. Please know the difference. Now, Paul moves on. He says this first time in verse 7. He said, I did all this. I counted it loss for Christ. And then he says, indeed, I count everything as loss. The term indeed here means with great forethought and strength. In other words, I've looked and I've examined it all. And I have determined that all of this is worth forfeiting. Why? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. King James translates this for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The superior knowledge, a better way of life, a better way of doing things. One of the things that I hate to admit from time to time is there are things that I'm doing around the house or things that I'm getting ready to do, and my wife says, why don't you do it this way? You say, why do you do that? Because she's right, and I hate admitting that. Now, I know none of you men have that trouble. You're gladly willing to admit that your wife is correct. That's why you're in church, sitting beside her and hoping she doesn't elbow you right now, right? Now, isn't it interesting? Paul said, I looked at everything and I knew it was a liability. So what am I going to do? He said, I'm going to embrace Christ. Why? Because it's a better knowledge. It's a better way of living. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I think is missing in our witness to the world today is we're not telling them that living for Jesus Christ is better than living in the world. We use the same standards of success that the world does, and we're making a tremendous mistake when we do that. Because the greatest success in life is to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is to serve the Lord the way the Lord wants us to serve Him. It's to live for Him and count our lives loss and His life gain. Please remember that Jesus said very clearly that there's two ways in life. One is a wide gate and a broad way. And He says many find it. But you know what the result of that wide gate and broad way is? It's destruction. But the straight gate and the narrow way leads to what? Life. It leads to knowing Jesus Christ. It leads to His watching and caring over us. Now please note what Paul says here. He says, this is for the surpassing worth of knowing. And notice how he words this. Christ Jesus, my Lord, the Messiah who is Jesus, my sovereign, my Lord. You see, Paul had looked for the Messiah all his life. He identified that Messiah as Jesus of Nazareth. And in the first century, when you said someone was your Lord other than Caesar, it was treason. And here, Paul is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is his Lord. He doesn't care about Nero. He doesn't care about that. Why? Because he's going to spend eternity with Christ and Nero's going to die. Do we understand that we are going to die in this world, but we're going to spend eternity with God? We better prepare for eternity. That's what Paul wants us to see. Paul's not saying this is a horrible thing. He says it is worth more than anything I understand anything in this world to be. He wants us to understand it's necessary for Jesus to control us. And then he makes his last statement about it. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. For the sake of Jesus Christ, I have counted all things and I have forfeited all things, and I count them as rubbish. King James translates this dung. Now, I grew up on a farm. I know what manure is. Okay? It's pretty worthless. Don't sack it up and try to sell it. It's not going to accomplish anything. Now, I realize you can go to Lowe's and buy a bag of it. But, folks, it's worthless. And Paul says, I've looked at my life and all those things that are back there in verses 4 to 6. They're worthless. And I counted them that way in order that I might gain or have as an asset in my life my Messiah. The most important thing you will ever do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, live for Jesus Christ as your Savior, and prepare your life to spend eternity with Him. That's justification, sanctification, and glorification. So my questions to end the message today are very simple. What's keeping you clinging to your old way of life? What's causing you to believe that not being saved, not serving the Lord, not doing God's will is better when it's temporary and it will end? For God's children, we need to ask ourselves pretty much the same question. Why are we not serving the Lord with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength? What is it that we're going to cling to that keeps us away from God? When you see the love of God expressed toward you, are you not willing to give up your way of life for the way Jesus promised to watch over us and care for us? I love the promises when Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That I'll be with you all the way to the end of the age. That he'll not put on me, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he'll not put on me any more than I'm able to bear. I love those passages. But I also love the passage when Paul tells me to rejoice in the Lord. You see, that's what Jesus wants us to do. Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus. What will God have to do to you before you believe him? Folks, don't let that experience happen to you. Don't take that chance. The things of earth perish, but eternal life remains forever. Why are we more interested in this world than the world to come? Several years ago, I was teaching junior boys vacation Bible school. We had a lesson on death out of Genesis chapter 3. So I called the local funeral home and I said, can I take my boys out to the local cemetery? Are y'all having a funeral today? And They said, well, no, we're not. And I took them out there, and I found a tombstone where a man had lived for 80 years, but he had been dead 100. You know what I had those boys do? I had them take a sheet of paper and take a pencil and just go over that tombstone. And then I had them do the math. And when you're 10 and somebody's lived to be 80, you know what those 10-year-old boys said? That man's old. Now, some of you that are a little past that, you might not think that. But to a bunch of 10-year-olds, that's the way they felt. And then when it dawned on them, that man had been dead 100 years, 20 years longer than he lived, and double their ages. It registered with them that no matter how long you live here, eternity will outweigh it. Do we realize that we are laying up treasures in heaven? As the old saying goes, there's no U-Hauls on a hearse. You don't get to take it with you, but you will receive what you've laid up in heaven. Do we know the difference between rubbish and precious things? Do you know the difference in living for yourself and living for Christ? If you don't, open the book. You know what it'll tell you to do? It'll tell you to live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know how it'll tell you to be saved? That same way. It'll tell you to live the same way. And it'll tell you to prepare. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven, not here on this earth. Prepare for it. Gain Christ. But to gain Christ, you've got to forfeit self. And that requires believing that God is right about everything.